Carl Wildman was the hero of his family. He escaped Vienna at the start of World War II and became a successful doctor in the United States. When Carl died, his granddaughter, Sarah Wildman, found a hidden trove of letters. They were love letters from a woman Carl left behind in Vienna. Sarah Wildman spent years unearthing that woman's story. It's a mystery that travels across continents and decades. Her new book is called Paper Love, Searching for the Girl My Grandfather Left Behind. Sarah Wildman joins us now. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
We should tell listeners, you and I are friends, and I've heard you talk about your family, but I never knew anything about this story until I read the book. And it really took me by surprise. I imagine it took you by surprise when you first found these letters.
It did. I mean, I came across first a folded note when I was in my early 20s, and it was the notes we used to pass as kids, you know, and in each quadrant of the note was a selfie, if you will, of the 30s with a girl in each picture and a different expression and a caption, and each one plaintive. Will Carl write me today? Oh, no letter. Surely tomorrow there'll be a letter. And I asked my grandmother at the time who this was, and she said, oh, it was your grandfather's true love. And so for years, this kind of percolated in the back of my mind, but I thought I couldn't find much more about her. I knew from my grandfather's sister, she had been a student with my grandfather at the University of Vienna Medical School.
This girl had been a student, Vali.
Vali. So her name is Valerie Scheftel, and she had come alone from Czechoslovakia to study at the University of Vienna Medical School in 1931 or so, and immediately fell in love with my grandfather, and they had a whirlwind romance. They were supposed to escape together, but instead he escaped with his family. I didn't know any of this, though. And then I discovered a collection of letters in a box labeled Patient Correspondence A through G.
And these letters were mislabeled, you believe in part, because your grandmother had destroyed a lot of your grandfather's records from that time.
She told me she had destroyed his correspondence, that no one needed to see it.
But these were love letters that stayed behind hidden in a mislabeled file.
Mm-hmm. So when I found that file, Patient Correspondence A through G, and I opened it up, you know, and it was those old letters held together with rubber bands that no longer had any snap that would sort of dissolve in my fingers, I discovered hundreds of letters. Dozens and dozens from this girl, Valerie Scheftel, who was in love with him, but also from his entire exploded Viennese world. And it upended a story that I'd been told as a child, which was that he had escaped with the essentials. Everyone in his family had gotten out. And I realized, looking through this box, that the idea of the essentials and everyone being his mother and sister is a child's idea of everyone.
You'd been told this kind of happily ever after escape story, which turned out not to be the truth. And you sprinkle these letters from Vali, his lover back in Vienna, throughout the book. Is there one letter that really sticks in your mind that you could share with us now?
Yes, actually. So this one is from the spring of 1941. And let me give you some context. So at this point, Vali has been writing to my grandfather desperately, asking for help, asking for money, for visas, for affidavits. And at this point, they have not spoken to each other or seen each other in 3 years.
He's here in the United States at that point.
He's here in the United States at that point. And let me read a little bit of the letter. Dear, dear boy, today I have to write to you again. It's so sad that by now our correspondence has come down to an exchange of letters only on certain occasions. But, my darling, do not think that I'm reproaching you. I know that 3 years is an awfully long time. So much can happen. A long, long time ago, you wrote to me from Vienna when I was supposed to go to Prague that one should not be so small-minded to sacrifice the present to the phantom of the future. You wrote those words in a completely different context at the time, but you were so right then, and maybe that's your thinking right now as well, and maybe you are right in not wanting to sacrifice your present either to the past or to the future. It is, however, so terribly sad for me, because I live almost without a present, and I can live only for the past and for the future. I'll stop there, but what she's talking about, and she doesn't say because all of her letters are censored, is at this point she has been pushed into these small ghetto-like apartments called Judenhäuser. And at the same time, what she doesn't know is that my grandfather in this country has been struggling as well.
Your quest to piece together Vali's story carries you to Germany, England, the Czech Republic, Austria. And it took you years. Why were you so committed to unearthing this one woman's story?
Well, I think that what I realized at the very beginning of this project was that the Nazi experiment was not just to exterminate, but to erase, to render people literally unmemorable. And the idea that this woman, Vali, that I sort of fell in love with, her letters are gorgeous, could narrate for me her own life. And whether she had survived or not survived, at the beginning I didn't know, but I could allow her to tell us her story herself and push back against what the Nazis had done. And I thought that this was an opportunity to tell one person's story, a regular person, someone who might have been someone you knew.
This story has many twists and turns, some of which would sound implausible if they were fiction. And I don't want to spoil the book for readers, but you actually did unearth Vali's story. Tell me about the conclusion that you ultimately reached.
Well, when I set out looking for Vali, I was looking for her alone, which was naive in some way, because we're not atoms bouncing around the world without anyone around us. And I discovered I had to look for her community. And the path to that was discovering that someone else had come looking for her before me in the German archives in the 50s. And the way I did that was by placing a classified ad in old survivor newsletters. And I happened to be in London for a different project. I'm a journalist. A couple months after my ad ran, and I got an email on my last night in town saying, imagine my emotion, but the woman you're looking for, the woman who went in search of Vali in the 50s, that woman was her mother. The woman's name is Carol Levine, and she says, I don't know if you're ever in London, but I have something for you. And I said, I'm in London till tomorrow at 4. Come find me. And that morning, the next morning, she came and met me and handed me the clues to the whole rest of my story and the whole trajectory of Vali's life.
You began researching this book after your grandfather had already died. And now that you've completed it and you know so much more about his life and about Vali's story, is there something you wish you could say to him?
His best revenge in some way was to live well. And so I wonder if I could ask him how he was able to do that. I mean, how was he able to live so big? He had a big life. He loved life. He loved to travel. He loved friends. He loved Vienna despite everything. I want to know how he was able to tap into that joy because it's something we could all use.
The book is Paper Love, Searching for the Girl My Grandfather Left Behind. The author is Sarah Wildman. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.